Welcome to the PA Chronicles podcast. My name is Maria. I'm a certified PA. I'm here to help you guys bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be. If you haven't caught the latest episode, please do so in your own time. It's titled Interview Upon Us, and it's all about the interview process and what kind of interview styles you might get when you're pursuing the PA profession, especially going through your interview stage. So some of you guys are in it right now, some of you guys will actually enter it in the next cycle. Either way, I'm really proud of all that you're doing, and today we have a special guest. So my colleague and good friend Caroline is actually an urgent care PA, and I'd like for you guys to kind of get some insight on the urgent care profession, but ultimately just some things that she has learned throughout the PA school process and then when she entered to start her career as a new grad. So if you have a pen and notebook ready, please have that beside you. If you're working out at the gym or if you're driving, also just be sure to check this episode out at a later date. Either way, you'll get some insight into her profession, her everyday life, and I'm just so grateful to have her. So let's dive in, have you guys kind of listen into her everyday schedule and what she has learned about really starting as a new grad. So Caroline, without further ado, if you can just introduce yourself and then just tell us, like, you know, between the job applications following PA school, how did you find yourself in that urgent care profession?
Hello, so happy to be here. I've been doing this for about 3 months now, leading up after graduation. I guess you kind of start brainstorming. Some people do it earlier, but I guess that's kind of a reflection of where you are at. Some people know what they're doing going into PA school and know what they want and what specialty they want to be in. And then there's people like me who are just kind of interested in a lot of different things and easily directed, I guess. I think once I started looking into the job application process, I realized how many different options there were and how many different fields I could go into. And I talked to a lot of different PAs, and I was like, okay, like, I don't know what I necessarily want to do. And some of the best advice I got was from one PA who said, you either have to kind of go based on location and doing something that's in your area, or if you're really passionate about something, you kind of have to either sacrifice and go to a different state or something like that. Figure out what's most important to you and what job is going to fit with those goals.
Right.
So I kind of didn't really have a necessary passion. I was interested in plastic surgery. I also was interested in other surgery specialties, but I also knew I just worked so hard to learn so much. I wanted to kind of keep general.
Right.
So I started looking into urgent care and emergency medicine type jobs. And for me, it was easier to get an urgent care job at the time. That's not to say that I wouldn't have accepted an emergency medicine job either, but I also knew I didn't necessarily want to work nights right off the bat. But you kind of, in choosing between those two types of professions, you kind of have to like be like, do I want the resources and the support? Like, or do I want good hours and something? Sometimes they're not as serious of cases, but they can be at times too. So I like was debating between emergency, urgent, but I knew I wanted to stay general and kind of reinforce a lot of the things I had just learned fresh out of school. So that's kind of why I wanted to stick general to general medicine. But urgent care just was a better fit for me in terms of hours. I typically work like an 8-to-8 type job. On the weekends, I'm 8-to-6. And that differs between urgent cares too. And I was lucky to find a good support system. So that's kind of what led me into my decision to go into urgent care. But yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you were able to kind of still stay open-minded throughout your clinical year. And like you mentioned that originally you had really good interest in plastic surgery. And that's something that might be still in your future.
Yes.
And I think it's important to highlight for those that are pursuing the PA profession or those that are currently in school or even practicing PAs. That's the beauty of our profession, that we have that lateral movement. So it's nice to know that you're still acknowledging your interest in plastic surgery, but also really stepping into that, you know, different setting right now in urgent care that is general. And you're still exercising your brain on, you know, all of the diseases that you need to know and be ready to help the patient that you have in your care. So, you know, if you can just highlight a couple things, types of jobs that you might have had even before PA school that you feel really helped you kind of step into this role as an urgent care PA.
So I did two different jobs leading into PA school that were PA related. I also was a barista, which is helpful in its own way because I learned to kind of do multiple tasks at once and deal with people in general. But then I ultimately went for my patient contact hours. I was a scribe for an internal medicine doctor, and then I was also a medical assistant for a plastic surgeon. Both were interesting in different ways. The scribe really did help me with my notes and kind of like working that closely with an internist and seeing like his kind of thought process and how he deals with situations. And I got very comfortable with labs and things like that. That's very helpful to this day. Like I can remember him working with people who had cold symptoms and like what he would do in those scenarios. Would he give antibiotics in the situation? And that's kind of helping me, especially through flu, it's COVID season forever right now, but
underlying pandemic.
Technically, flu season, colds, everyone's having a cold these times of year. Like, when do I prescribe antibiotics? When do I not? Like, if this has been going on for this many weeks, is an antibiotic appropriate at this time? Because those are kind of the types of things you don't necessarily learn in PA school. That's one thing I found, like, people ask me, like, how long am I contagious for? And I'm like, oh, that's actually not something we are taught, you know?
Correct,
and that's like,
correct.
That's part of being a new grad, learning those things. But being a scribe, I have like certain little tidbits that I know, but it is interesting to me kind of how your experiences can help you in that way, because PA school is kind of just like you want to learn about the diseases and treatments, but they don't tell you like little things like how do you clean a wound. I mean, you get that like a day or so, but like there's the basic things that we aren't taught that kind of you have to learn on the job. But I think scribe in that sense was a real advantage for me, because I think back to my times there and I just saw how he would handle patients, and that like to me is like worth its weight in gold. So, and I also like have a really good, I'm really faster with the EMR systems and knowing where to look for things and how to write a note and what's important and what's not. But that helped me through PA school as well. So, and then the plastic surgeon job where I was an MA, like I just kind of learned more about kind of in-office procedures, which is helpful in urgent care. I wasn't necessarily seeing the same things as I am right now, but I would remember how to keep a sterile field, know how to do where certain meds are, what supplies I need for even like suturing. I mean, you learn that as well, but just like when you're an MA, kind of like learning how to prepare a room for a plastic surgeon, you learn a lot about sterile fields for
Absolutely. Sterile field, sterile field. Remember that as a PA student. Yeah. It's very important.
Yes. And also, just kind of having things in order. And I mean, working for a surgeon and seeing their thought process is also just very interesting. And I also have kind of some familiarity with when to give prophylactic antibiotics mm-hmm. after a procedure and things like that, just based off watching someone else do it consistently and seeing how they inject. I mean, it was a filler, but sure. it was still like seeing an injection technique, mm-hmm. which is very helpful. So, and you see a lot as an MA as well. So, in different settings, because I know the MAs I work with right now, they basically do the history for me. They kind of get all the, they, it's like a lot of practice taking an HPI basically. Mm-hmm. So, I think they're both valuable experiences.
Yeah, and I love that you touched upon of how your previous experience has really helped you with your current job. And mm-hmm. you also really acknowledge the MAs mm-hmm. in your profession, your nurses, and mm-hmm. and how knowledgeable they are in their own profession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since we're talking to listeners that might be MAs themselves or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you're trying to figure out what you can do to get patient care hours, I think that's a perfect field for you, being mm-hmm. a medical assistant, a scribe, where you get to learn the medical terminology, mm-hmm. where you get to really be in the room with the provider and kind mm-hmm. of just get a sense of, you know, what treatment are they using? Mm-hmm. Why are they using? Kind of linking that behind the what mm-hmm. type of aspect when it comes to medicine. And then when you ultimately went to PA school, it only solidified
right.
that foundation, enhanced your skills so that it shows in your current practice, like mm-hmm. everything that you did up until this point has mm-hmm. really helped you kind of dive in as a new grad. And I'm sure there were some challenges being mm-hmm. a new grad, you know, adjustments that you had to mm-hmm. make from being a student to now being the sole provider, mm-hmm. essentially, in your practice. Just to give everyone else an idea, Caroline is really much more autonomous in mm-hmm. her profession. It doesn't mean that other urgent cares are the same, but in the practice that she belongs to, it's very much you learn on the job, but mm-hmm. it's nice that you had that foundation in PA school to really kind of feel confident. Like, do mm-hmm. you feel that PA school preparation really helped you adjust to seeing patients on your own, mm-hmm. being able to understand the importance of utilizing resources?
Yeah, I think they do a good job with what the time that they we have with our
sure.
professors, of course. I think looking back, there was a lot of times where I was frustrated with certain questions on tests or something. I didn't understand why sure. they were so obsessed with how old the patient was or something like mm-hmm. that, or like the time frame, or I'm like, or the risk factors.
Sure.
And now that I have to make my own medical decisions, I look at the patient, and it's so based on who the patient is. It's very like interesting, like that the questions I was getting frustrated with, I was like, oh, this is why they were doing it for me, like to mm-hmm. like kind of see like, oh, who is the patient I'm looking at? And will that change my management?
Sure.
Someone who's 20 coming in with chest pain or dizziness versus someone who's 70 coming in with chest pain and dizziness. Mm-hmm. That is kind of the thing, like, where you're making, like, a total different decision mm-hmm. on how to further care for this patient. And I think a lot of the times we get so obsessed during PA school with just doing well in the test and not really understanding why the questions were asked to us in certain ways or why they were so difficult. But it really is to help us with that medical decision-making process, which is ultimately the biggest transition. You don't have a preceptor anymore. Mm-hmm. Certain sites, you definitely have more training than others. I think, unfortunately, like right now, healthcare in general is a lot short-staffed. If you find a place where you have good training, that's like a blessing. But unfortunately, they just couldn't even give me the amount of training they would normally give a PA. But luckily, I'm working under a doctor who is very responsive to me and helps me think things out. And sometimes I'll just say, I already discharged this patient even, but I just kind of want to get your thought, like reflecting back, like, did I do the right thing? And kind of having that reassurance that someone else is thinking similarly to you. Because sometimes you just need someone to say like, yes, good.
Correct.
Yeah, and he's very kind to me in that way, and he'll like give me feedback constantly. So I think that's very important. You want good training out because it's different. It's just totally different, and it is a weird transition, kind of just being like feeling like a student still to being like you're the highest person in the room.
Correct.
And it's going to also depend on your staff too. Like some people are going to kind of be like a little more rude to you because they feel like they have more experience and they are probably more experienced. Sure. I mean, they are more experienced, right, and have seen more things, but then there's other people who you have to find that will support you and like just kind of encourage you and say like you're doing well, but it's hard when you don't get that constant feedback. But when you do get it, just it does help the process.
Correct. And it sounds like you have a really good relationship with your supervising mm-hmm. physician. And I think that's important for anyone that's mm-hmm. listening to this podcast is to know no matter what setting you're in, mm-hmm. is to really hone in on two things. Make sure you have a really strong onboarding process. In regards to training, in regards to a really good cultural environment that's mm-hmm. there to support you, mm-hmm. especially in a field like urgent care, which mm-hmm. oftentimes you do find yourself being very autonomous. Mm-hmm. You know, you're making your own decisions in real time. Mm-hmm. You do have that privilege as a PA, and that's something that is very admirable about the profession, that you have, you know, a doctor that you can collaborate with. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're following their coattails, mm-hmm. but it does mean that, you know, you want that extra teamwork type of feel of like, yes, this is this decision that I made with this patient. Is this something that you're also on board with? Right. Is this something that you would have also done if mm-hmm. you were in this position? If not, then you learn from that mm-hmm. as well, and you keep learning as you go throughout that first year as a new grad. But mm-hmm. also, even if you're 10 years out, it's mm-hmm. nice to have that relationship where you feel like you're working more as a team mm-hmm. versus just solely being on an island by yourself and trying to manage a patient that you never know who you're getting, especially yeah. in the urgent care field. I'm sure you get multiple patients every morning that you go in for your shift of variety yeah. of different medical diseases. It's not the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. So what are some illnesses or diseases that you do come across fairly often?
Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, I don't know if it's this season. I've only been doing this for 3 months, as I said, but sure. It's a lot of H-E-N-T, like a lot mm-hmm. of head colds, a lot of eye problems, a lot of sore throats, things like that. That's like the majority, I would say, cold symptoms in general. I'll get a lot of abdominal pain complaints, which is obviously more stressful. And I don't, one thing I will say, I'm lucky that I have an x-ray at my site, which not all urgent cares have, but I don't have that ultrasound or CT scan. And kind of explaining that to a patient that like I can't rule out certain things without the blood work and
imaging.
The imaging. And just like, yeah, you're telling me you have this pain and basing it off their vitals, like, do I think you're in an emergency or not? Mm-hmm. But I can't confirm for you that this isn't going on. It could sure. be. Sure. It could be, you know, and just kind of like people ask for your opinion and you can tell them your opinion, but you're scared to be wrong, especially mm-hmm. as a new grad. But also just kind of like you have to put some responsibility on the patient too and be like, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. You can make your own decision based on that.
Sure.
Do I think you're acutely in danger? No. If I do think they're in acutely danger, I will call an ambulance. We right. do that. Like, we have people going in an ambulance, which is like, it's kind of triaging in your own head mm-hmm. how big of an emergency this is, which is just interesting. But yeah, so I do. Oh, you were asking me what I see. So you see a lot of that, which is frustrating. And then I see lacerations. Mm-hmm. They're not usually as deep as necessarily one that would go straight to the ER, but a lot of like superficial lacerations that I either have to suture or Dermabond, or if it's over 12 hours, you just do what you can.
Sure.
And then I see some cellulitis and skin infections. Just like a lot of people will just try to show you things that they think like looks weird on their body, and you're like, rashes, of course. Yeah.
You have your dermatology cases in there.
Yeah.
Don't forget about those. Take your dermatology module seriously.
Yeah. I had one patient, and like you, as a new grad, you just, you can't beat yourself up for the way you react or do certain things. Like you just have to keep moving forward and becoming stronger. But I had one patient, I reacted horribly. I was like, shocked. And they were like, and I was trying to like, I was like, I'll be right back. I'm just going to look something up. And they're like, can you not close the door? I'm scared now. I'm like, because you don't know what's scary and what's not. And that's just like what comes with experience. But you're trying, as long as you try your best and you are doing your best you can for the patient, and you're not just blowing them off when they're like, and they are having something going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all you can do. But yeah, it's definitely a wide variety. And then, oh, and the UTIs, you have your UTIs, and then you don't know what's kidney stones. And then that's just all the, these things, like you have to kind of decide if you send them down to the ER or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you see like all sorts of things for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of urgent care, is to have that general medicine aspect and to be able to understand that you do utilize all the things you learned in PA school and to some extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we learn about disposition. So if you're a PA student applicant trying to get into PA school, you will learn all of those things. So don't feel like you're going to be lost in that. But as you create your foundation and, you know, pathophysiology and understanding why certain diseases are common in certain populations or in certain age groups, you'll start to really put together those pieces. But I think the one thing that I really admire about you the most is being able to, one, be adaptable. I think in clinical year as a PA student, for those that are listening, for those that are going through their program, you really realize how adaptable you have to be with every single maybe 6 weeks or 4 week rotations that you might have to go through, that you really see a bunch of different settings. And how quickly you have to adjust to a preceptor, how quickly you have to adjust to the EMR system, how quickly you have to adjust to just your environment and just understanding the certain diseases that you're going to see most commonly in that setting. And for you to be able to, you know, talk with your patient and be like, you know what, this is something that is very interesting in your case. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I can help you with. Let me just take a second to look it up. And I found that a lot of patients really respect and admire a provider that is willing to really state, hey, you know, I want to help you, but I do need to just look up a couple things about your condition so that I can better assist in your management. And for you to be able to, one, know you have a doctor that you can text or call or even converse with in the office to kind of get their sense of what they might do in this situation, but also for you to understand that there are current guidelines listed for us as providers to be able to look up. There's a reason why we have the privilege to use these resources, and for you to be able to tell the patient, hey, you know, I want to help you. I want to look this up. And there's no wrong in that. I think to welcome the resources that you have only makes you a better provider. And I think, you know, with the patients you see, with the variety that you see, I think the more you really encounter with those said diseases on, on a common basis, it's really going to be like riding a bike.
Right.
You've seen this rash before. You've seen these symptoms before for this said symptom of a disease, and you know what to do. And I think it's also important to note for the current PA students, but also even practicing PAs or those applicants that are getting ready to start their PA journey that, you know, it's always a learning process.
Right.
And that you have resources at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's awesome. And what are things in your profession that appeal to you? Is it the hours? Is it the mm-hmm. lifestyle? Is it the type of routine that you have throughout your day?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, I like the hours because I didn't want to do night shifts. So it's nice to have like a set. I know I'm going to go in for 8 to 8. I mean, sometimes I get out later, but that's mm-hmm. just unfortunately the times right now. I think a lot of healthcare providers are overloaded. And that's definitely something you have to like keep in mind. I think I'm seeing a little more than I expected patient load wise. And it is stressful, but I'm hoping that things get better. I mean, I know we're just a little short staffed right now too. So I can't say that that's the case for across the board urgent cares.
And
I know,
how many patients are you seeing throughout the day?
On a slower day, I'll still see around like 30, but it can get up to 50. And I'm at one of the slower locations. There's certain ones that have more. There's also slower locations that have less. It depends on the day. It does kind of follow the ED trends where Monday is like your worst because no one wants to go. People still come in on the weekend because they're free, but Monday seems to always across the board be the worst day.
Sure, just totally loaded over.
Yeah, loaded over. Everyone's coming in. And then it's a toss-up throughout the rest of the week. So, I mean, that changes. But I know it was important for me to just kind of feel stronger with my decision-making process and just working with that. And I also like being able to talk with a lot of people. I work in kind of a lower income area. So these people, a lot of times, don't have regular follow-up and they don't have primary care doctors. And a lot of them will be appreciative of the kind of advice you're giving. And you realize, too, a lot of people don't know what's going on because to me, things that are common sense aren't necessarily common sense to other people. So one of the things I like about my job is kind of talking through with the patient and telling them what I'm thinking is going on and having them engage with me and kind of having a conversation about it. And I remember in PA school, that was another like great thing. When we would do our OSCEs, just getting that practice, taking a history from a patient. But someone gave me an advice one time, like, just recap everything and kind of be like, this is kind of, you just told me what is going on. I'm going to recap to make sure I'm understanding. And then kind of having a discussion and talking it through with someone, being like, this is why I think you should go to the ER. This is why maybe you can wait a little longer, but if it gets worse, please go to the ER. I'm advising that. Or I think you're fine right now. You know, it just kind of like going from there and talking it through and kind of seeing, has this ever happened to you before? But it is nice just like being able to talk with so many different types of people. It's not just like one or two throughout the day, or I mean, you can also, and I have people who come back too, and I like see them and I follow up with them. It's kind of like that type of thing, but a lot of people are appreciative. There's also going to be patients that aren't, and kind of like put a little, what's the word, like a wrench in your,
or they know it all and they don't know what kind of your process will be, but they feel like they just need this medication at the time.
And you can't let that like totally gut you and ruin your day because you have to keep going through. But it's just, you see a lot of different types of people and the exposure and kind of continued, you do see a lot of the same things and you just get stronger each and every time. And I do enjoy feeling like I'm becoming better as a provider, and I feel like I'm feeling more confident and kind of just getting more comfortable with that, which was my goal. And then once I feel like you have a few years, whether it's urgent care or emergency department, and then you can move on to something else if you choose. That's the beauty of our profession. But I definitely wanted that foundation to be solidified for me after PA school because I worked so hard. But there are a lot of downsides too. I mean, it's stressful. It is stressful.
And I think that's, really understood across the whole field, mm-hmm. no matter what setting you're in. I think understanding that we go to school for less time compared mm-hmm. to, you know, our counterpart of a doctor. And I think it's, like you said, it's the beauty of our profession that we're able to cross-specialize mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. If we want to stay in urgent care for the rest of our career, we can. If mm-hmm. we want to venture off and mm-hmm. go into a more specialized field, we can. So my question to you, Caroline, and for the listeners out here is, you know, do you plan on really sticking with urgent care for mm-hmm. long term? Or is this kind of, like you said, a foundation for you to exercise general medicine and then mm-hmm. eventually go into something else? And if that is the case, what would you want to go into?
Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's a lot right now. So it's hard to kind of like give a honest answer. I don't know. That's the kind of the answer.
And that's okay. But, yeah, it's okay to not know either.
I think for me, I definitely want at least some exposure in an emergency department too. I spoke with the doctor I work under and he's hoping to get me per diem once we get these other full-time staff in. Mm-hmm. So I think working between the two would be great. I might just want to work in an ED full-time too, mm-hmm. kind of get that. I think it is a lot and people get burned out in that field. But I'm not sure. It's hard to say because I'm new. So a lot of things that are overwhelming for me are kind of mindless for more experienced mm-hmm. providers. So it does seem like cushier for other people who have sure. had 10 years plus of experience, which is nice for some people. I think in an ideal world where we're properly staffed, it'd be a great job to have. But times are just a little more difficult right now, and mm-hmm. medical fields across the board are experiencing that. Mm-hmm. If I was to move, I did love... Surgery has like a soft mm-hmm. spot in my heart, and I sure. did love my plastic surgery rotation too. So it's hard to like say, no, I'll never go into that. But there's a lot of difficulty with that as well. I mean, it's you're actually operating on people's right. bodies, and it mm-hmm. does become stressful when you're the one. I mean, you will never be like a surgeon, but mm-hmm. when you're in the room and could be responsible for like closing someone and like just you don't want to mess up. Like, sure. yeah, these are all things that just like what kind of stress will I be able to take? But I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to a lot of things, which is kind of why I got into PA school. Like mm-hmm. I like to try new things and just kind of get a feel for it. So I'm sure I'll try a different setting at least some point, but mm-hmm. I do think there's a lot of pros to urgent care in itself. And if you find the right team and that supports you, it's a great first job. But I know there's a lot of horror stories of people who had no training too. And mm-hmm. you just have to be careful and really like speak with who you're about to be employed by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's great that you're able to kind of take a step back mm-hmm. and see what you have in front of you, mm-hmm. be grateful for what you have now, mm-hmm. but also be able to understand that, you know, I know from just a friend standpoint, you're mm-hmm. one to really take a hold of what you have and then mm-hmm. be challenged by it. And then once you're challenged by it, you'll become more comfortable. And then mm-hmm. eventually it's really sky's the limit for you mm-hmm. of where you want to go. And I think it's also important to know, like, clinical year, I think, gives us a really good insight mm-hmm. of a bunch of settings. Mm-hmm. We get to, across the nation, I believe the requirement is to go through 7 core rotations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of our profession, that we're on the medical model. Mm-hmm. Just as doctors are, we're able to go through the 7 core rotations, OBGYN, psych, emergency medicine, just to name a few. And then you can kind of get a sense of what do you like and what do you not like? Mm-hmm. You know, where do you see yourself? Maybe some of the previous experiences that you had mentioned really catered to plastic surgery. Right. It catered to kind of that emergency medicine style. Just for me, in my own opinion, some of the things that I did in neuroscience really catered to my interest in neurosurgery.
Right.
And I didn't know that. I didn't go into clinical year being like, I want to be mm-hmm. a neurosurgery PA, but I do I do have to say that within my experience, having an elective to at least get a taste for that setting really solidified, hey, this is something that is a little bit more natural to you. This is something that's challenging you a lot more than maybe other settings. And then you start in that.
Yeah.
And it's no problem to start in a setting that gives you that foundation versus on the flip side, having medical doctors kind of be very much, you know, committed to their own profession that they were matched to back in their medical schooling, where that's all that their career is. So I think as a PA, it's really nice. Like you said, you're very much in the beginning stage. You're also getting a lot more experience than most professions, even years ago, because of just where medicine is. In the midst of a pandemic, you're able to find that foundation. And, you know, like you said, there are times where you have 50 patients by yourself. And how do you kind of de-stress from that work? What do you do on the outside of your profession?
Yeah, I've always made it an important thing for me is to work out, of course. I've recently joined Orange Theory, which actually kind of really works my schedule, because I'll even fit a workout class. There's always, you always know it's going to be an hour. I'll fit a workout class in before a 12-hour shift. Am I a little psychotic for that? Yes, but...
not everybody can do that. I don't think I can do that, but Caroline can.
But it is important for me to kind of at least have that time to myself and kind of make sure that I'm taking care of myself too. And I think another reason why that's important for me is because as a provider, you're giving people medical advice. I personally cannot stand when someone is not taking care of themselves and giving me medical advice. So I want the way I live my lifestyle to be a reflection on the advice I'm giving to other people. So it's important for me to kind of at least keep myself healthy. And then I love going out to eat and just making time to do things like that. I mean, in an ideal world, I'm working a lot of overtime right now. I'm supposed to be working 72 hours every 2 weeks, which is a great schedule. So you have those times to kind of explore or take hiking trips or take, I go into the city sometimes. You have those like weird days during the week to yourself. Then you also have some weekends or, you can do all these things with the spare time that you have. I mean, right now I'm a little extra busy, but.
Because you're creating space of being able to go on that vacation.
And I'm working a lot of overtime right now, but then you're compensated for overtime. So it's good to work hard in the beginning, especially as you're a new provider and need to become stronger. But I do think it's important to kind of just explore the world and get to know the people in it that you're treating. So, and like listening to people and kind of trying to hear what they want from like a healthcare provider, or just kind of getting, seeing how different people act or different religions work. I mean, my background was in psychology and anthropology. I've always been fascinated by the human experience and just kind of recognizing that different people feels different ways and you have to treat them differently. So that's just kind of like, I don't know, I just try to explore the world, I guess.
Yeah, and I think I think that transcends in your connection with the patient. I think it's huge to be able to connect with the patient on a personal level beyond what they're there for. With urgent care, I understand that you do have a set time. There is a productivity measure over you. But at the same time, I think as a PA student and, you know, going through your didactic year, your clinical year, you kind of get a sense of what kind of provider you want to be. And then you gather all of your experiences before PA school, during PA school, and you kind of just create this identity where you're like, okay, these are the things I believe in. This is what I was taught. This is something I want to implement. Like in my life as a provider, I love patient education. That's really, really important to me to be able to gauge, well, how much does a patient know about this said disease? And they tell me. And if I can fill in the blanks, I will. Mm-hmm. Whereas other providers, they truly love the physical exam portion. Yeah. They love working with maybe pediatrics population where they realize that the physical exam is even more important than the history that's provided.
Yeah.
Why? Maybe because their patient is young. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can't advocate for themselves as much. Maybe their parents don't really know much about what happened mm-hmm. for their said disease. And you can really rely on that physical exam yeah. that we were taught in PA school to truly kind of gather as much information as you can. And then ultimately provide the best care mm-hmm. and still have a life on the outside where, mm-hmm. like you said, you exercise, you work out, you create a healthy lifestyle, you go on hikes. It's a very big balance in our profession mm-hmm. where there are studies talking about how PAs do get burnt out.
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear from someone like you that has a balance mm-hmm. where you can work hard right now, you're putting into overtime hours, but you also have time to really rejuvenate mm-hmm. and recharge for yourself. So I think that's something that you as listeners is important to know, that you're always learning. Yes, there's a transition from being a PA student to a PA provider, but it's not much different in terms of the learning aspect mm-hmm. and being able to find time for yourself. So there was a couple questions from the PA community, which I'm super grateful for, that you guys sent in your questions via email and Facebook about kind of figuring out, you know, can you actually own your own urgent care? Mm-hmm. And then what does that look like? And from your standpoint, you know, the short answer is something we talked about is mm-hmm. yes, you can own your own urgent care with a supervising doctor being on contract with you in collaboration. But is that something you would see yourself opening up in the future if you wanted to?
No.
Okay. And then, like, tell us why. Like, why is that something that you feel yourself is something that you're not really goal-oriented towards?
Right now, even learning the system is time-consuming. So yeah. I have enough stress and enough ways during my work shift. To me, like, having additional stresses of, like, actually billing and, like, sure. seeing what's covered. How do I charge this patient? What am I charging this patient for? Because even, like, I feel guilty sometimes, like, making it a code 4 visit, and I'm not even the person billing them, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, but, like, you kind of have to, like, make that decision, like, how much of my time was taken. But then, I don't know, to be the actual person in charge of everything just sounds like a nightmare to me. But other people, that might sound more appealing. Interesting and appealing. Yeah, to me, it's not. But to me, I just like to, like, focus on my shifts and then really, like, leave it there. I mean, sometimes I have to come and home and do more notes if I'm really behind that day. But for the most part, I'm allowed to just, like, if I finish all my notes and finish my shift on time, I can go home the next day and not worry about anything. And to me, that's worth its weight.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you mention that. For you, that mm-hmm. might be something that, you know, may not appeal to you, but mm-hmm. for someone else, it might. And like we said, the short answer is yes, you can own your own urgent care in collaboration with a contracted MD on the title. However, you know, that's something that you might have to explore a little bit more time into, of whether or not you want to take cash only type of patients or Medicare versus Medicaid. There's a lot that goes into owning your own business. And I think that also is a very big difference in, you know, just our scope of practice and, mm-hmm. and our focus. I think as a PA, what appeals to us the most is having that lateral movement. Mm-hmm. When you're in urgent care, you have the flexibility of hours. You go in, you do 8 to 8. You might stay a little bit later. You might take some notes with you. But ultimately, the next day, you see a set new of patients. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about the business side. When yeah. you need to open, how many people you have to hire, the employees that you have to have under your name, yeah. the insurances that are involved. So if that's something that's of interest, there are definitely resources out there. There's one resource in particular on the top of my head called Paramount in urgent care. It's a franchise company. They really help PAs kind of get on their feet to own their own urgent care. But if this is something that's not for you and it's more of kind of where Caroline is going towards, where it's a foundation, then it's really much to what you put into it.
Yeah.
And during your clinical year, can you just talk about maybe certain clinical rotations you really liked?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you prepare for the clinical rotation end of rotation exam?
I mean, I actually loved the majority of my rotations and was surprised by certain rotations that I initially thought I would hate. I think one thing that surprised me was I did like emergency medicine, because that was something I said I would never want to do, just because I'm an anxious person and I'm always second guessing myself. So it is like a very stressful situation. But to me, for some reason, I keep putting myself through. I just really liked it. I responded to it.
And where did you do your emergency medicine rotation?
Monty in the Bronx. Montefiore.
Okay. Montefiore Hospital in New York.
Yes.
In Bronx.
Yes, so that was awesome. I mean, I saw a lot of things there, but to me, I guess what I am initially liking right now is fast pace and being exposed to a lot of different things, because I think the more exposure you have, the more confidence you can have in your medical decision making. So to me, that's what is important. I liked my OBGYN one. I mean, there are certain aspects I didn't like.
But the overall women's health was really appealing to you.
Yes. I loved pediatrics. I love little kids. But that's another thing why I like the urgent care, because you see kids. You get exposed to all ages. And I actually rotated where I'm working right now.
Right. And that's huge. If you have a rotation in your clinical year where you get to have a job in the future, that's something that provides a lot more comfort, so to speak. So I think it's great that you got a job that you rotated. That may not be the case for everyone. Like, I didn't get a job at a place that I had rotated for neurosurgery, but it was very much a solidifying aspect of my clinical year. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that you get to see different age populations. Mm-hmm. So how young of a population do you see?
I can see 3 months and above.
Okay, and above.
But, yes.
Everyone hear that? That's 3 months.
I had someone who tried to bring a 10-day-old baby.
Wow.
And I was like, no. I'm not ready for that.
You have your fair share.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I see a lot of different. And I also, that just made me remember, I loved my internal medicine working in a hospital. You see that. My psych ED. I loved all my rich. There's just so many different things out there. I think there's a lot PAs have to give to the world. So it's great.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know in your clinical rotation, although you have 7 core rotations that everyone across the nation has to also complete in their own school.
Yeah.
You know, see what works for you, see what doesn't work for you. Like for me, I did enjoy women's health. Could I do it every day? No.
Right.
But it was a great way to kind of get immersed in that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever came across a patient that, you know, I'm treating and they're like, oh, but I also need help in this type of area, I'm able to understand who to refer to. Where to go? How can I best assist this patient? And then in didactic year, what was your favorite subject? Was it pathophysiology, anatomy? Was it a particular module that you did or hands-on?
Actually, my favorite module was actually cardiology, which is funny.
And why was that your favorite?
I don't know. I just love the heart. And I also did love neuro. I did. I like the big organs, I always say.
Yeah.
I hated infectious disease. I hated derm. So that's
I feel
funny.
Like infectious and derm were just so many diseases
everything
to know.
Everything I hate, I'm working with and everything.
Isn't that funny where you're just like totally against one thing, but then you find out that they're very crucial in your own field?
I still feel really weak in derm, which I'm like always like, when in doubt, give a steroid. But I'm kidding. But yeah. It's derm's a lot. You do see a lot of derm. But even just what you were saying, though, too, like I didn't like OBGYN or whatever. And then I liked it in clinical year. And then I'm lucky because I do do pelvic exam. I do do STD testing. Right. I do do a lot of things. I don't do the annuals, but you see so many different things in general medicine. So that's awesome. But a lot of the things I actually hated in didactic, I came to like in clinical.
Yeah, and I think that's so important that it just goes back to what we're saying is to keep an open mind, to not be so tunnel vision. And yeah, like if you have an interest in pediatrics, by all means, even before your PA schooling, like stay committed to it, but also don't stay married to it.
Yeah.
Because you might have a change. You might like it in didactic year of learning all the different pediatric milestones, the diseases according to it. But in clinical year, you might find out, oh, this is a lot tougher than I thought. Maybe this is something that is monotonous to you and you might want to change a particular mindset on a different setting. So just know we can keep an open mind. As a new grad, how are you mentally? I think I find a lot of new grads being very hard on themselves, being their toughest critic. So how do you kind of cope with that and manage being a new grad from a student to now a colleague of many other PAs in the field?
I feel like it was very hard for me, especially at first, because you hear the MA being like, and our provider today is Caroline and she'll be in to see you. And that's like kind of made me like honestly nauseous at first. I'm like, oh, I'm like, what?
This is it. Put me in, coach.
I made the joke that I wanted to still go in the room and be like, I'm the PA student. Like, cause that's how you feel. You still feel like a student at first. And you kind of still are, and it's not like wrong, but as you get, it gets better every shift, honestly, and you just have to kind of just not get hung up on things. I'll look back at things that I did my first 2 weeks as like a PA, and I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? But now you just like, it's done, it's in the past, and you just have to keep making forward and making sure you're making decisions that will help you become a stronger provider and get you to where you want to be. I think it's just, that's the most important thing, to not let yourself get into that defeated mode. And there's days you'll feel just so dumb. And I just have to remind myself, like, part of the PA profession is you're supposed to learn on the job, and that's okay. And it's going to be something that sticks with me and it's going to make me better in the future. Every mistake is just makes you stronger in the end. So it just, you kind of have to have that mindset. And hopefully you get people around you that are encouraging of that and don't try to beat you down. Cause there's a lot of people who are just unfortunately bitter and just mad that you make so much money or whatever, and they don't, and they feel more experienced than you, but ultimately you'll be where you need to be in the end. So as long as you stay in that positive mind frame. And I'm not gonna pretend like I don't get really, I had shifts where I cried. But you have to pick yourself back up. There's no time for like to like really like be like, or you could quit the PA profession after you went through all that. Like, it's kind of up to you.
Right.
It's like, am I going to do what it takes or am I going to just give up?
Right.
And you can't give up.
Yeah, and I think that speaks for even your schooling.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, PA schooling was one of the toughest educations I ever received. But like you said, it's surrounding yourself with a really strong environment, but also having that mental toughness to give yourself that day to cry, give yourself that time to let your emotions run their course. But ultimately, you're here to help many patients. You're here to provide them access to healthcare in which they might have not received anywhere else. So I commend you for that. I think it's awesome that being a new grad PA, you have a lot more flexibility. You have more understanding of when to ask for help and then when to really just take ownership and be like, I've seen this before. And you've gained that confidence after each case that you've received. So I just want to conclude You know, with you being here on the podcast, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to those that are listening. I hope this helped anyone here answer any of the questions that you guys had come up with. I'm appreciative of that. If you have any other individual questions you might want to ask about either being an urgent care PA or just overall profession, just email us at thepachronicles@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at the_PA_chronicles. We are more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. And we look forward to speaking with Caroline even later on in the year, just as she becomes more confident, and other PA providers in the future that can kind of cater to maybe something you're interested in now as a PA student, or even an applicant pursuing the journey. And we look forward to the next episode. And another thing about Caroline and I, we don't talk every day, but we're able to have that awesome friendship where we're able to kind of bounce off ideas, see how we're doing throughout the year. I think it's important to know that your networking is really important, your friendships throughout, you know, this journey and anywhere even outside of your profession is just as important. So make sure that you really let people know how grateful you are to help you get to where you want to be. And then just look forward to the next episode. So thank you so much.
Of course.
And lastly, we just want to remind you, be a light to the world around you and stay blessed.
Yes.